So we have a special guest with us. He's been with us before when we talked about his past book, Shark Assault. Peter Jennings is back with us. New book called Why Being Happy Matters. And Peter, good morning. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Warren. Great to be with you, and great to be with everybody in Kingston on WKNY.
So, Peter, I have to ask you, first of all, when you get on the air and talk and do this sort of thing, anybody say to you, wait a minute, Peter Jennings, he passed away.
he
was the ABC News guy.
That. Believe it or not, I probably get that about once a week. And people, some people don't even know that the former Peter Jennings, or late Peter Jennings, did pass away, and they ask if I'm him. And I say, well, notwithstanding the fact that the poor man died 10 years ago, I do like to think I'm still alive, and I don't live in New York City. I'm not the head of ABC News.
No. So. But you are in the entertainment business, or you were, and you do a show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have been doing a show called Be My Guest, and it's a TV show for our local audience. I live about 2 hours north of Toronto, Warren, and so we have a local TV audience. And I interview interesting people. These are kind of, you know, the show goes for over an hour, so they're in-depth interviews. And people from various walks of life, some of them well-known, some of them not so well-known. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But my real passion is writing, I must say.
So what a change from the past book. It was great having you on last time when we talked about Shark Assault. That was a great book.
Yeah.
And now,
thank you.
Now it's the topic of being happy, which how'd you get interested in that?
Well, you know what, Warren, I think we are living in a world that's increasingly coming under a lot of stress and anxiety, and I see that happiness is a real antidote to that. But specifically how I came to do this, I met a guy by the name of Rick, and let me just spend a few seconds. I'll tell you about Rick's background, because he was the inspiration for my writing the book on happiness. Rick grew up with a mother who was a really bad alcoholic. That resulted in all sorts of family arguments between his mom and dad, so he grew up in a family of discord. Then his mother died of breast cancer. His sister then died of breast cancer. Rick married his university sweetheart. They had two wonderful children, but she died of ovarian cancer. Now, to get over this, Rick called his best friend Mike. They're both motorcyclists, and they say, come on, we're going to go down into the U.S. from Canada. We're going to do a motorcycle tour, and I'm going to try and put my past behind me. 1 week into that event, Rick came around the corner. There's Mike lying dead in the middle of the street. He had wiped out. Rick then returns. He starts consoling Mike's wife, Diane. Quite surprisingly, the two of them develop a relationship, but the fates are not done with Rick. Diane dies of cancer. Now, you're probably sitting there, Warren, saying, this guy's happy? But believe it or not, he is happy, and he was inspirational. Let me tell you what he told me, because it's really quite interesting. He said, Peter, there is a positive side to everything. You just have to accept that, or life can get you down. Seems to me that when things go wrong, human nature gets some folks asking, what did I do to make this disaster happen? Me, I say, what did I do to get this far and achieve so much? How can I now move forward?
You know, I always feel that when a lot of things happen to you that aren't really good, it's kind of a test to see how you can work out of that, and you usually do.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know what, Warren? I think what people need to realize is that happiness does take work. Not a lot of work, but if you are prepared to recognize that, you know, there are some things you can do to improve happiness in your life, then, yeah, it will improve. I mean, part of writing this book, Why Being Happy Matters, I interviewed 37 people from around the world, but I also interviewed 7 PhDs who are doing active work on what they call positive psychology, which is really the study of happiness. And they have documentary proof that shows that if you are happy, it improves your outlook, it adds value to your days, it enhances your peace of mind. So what's not to like about that?
So you interviewed and came into contact with some interesting people for this book, John Robbins from Baskin-Robbins,
yep.
The baseball guy who I've had on the show, Sean Green, he was part of this, the Rolling Stones keyboardist. What do they tell you that makes them happy?
Well, very interesting. You know, it's just things like each of us is accountable for our own happiness. It's up to each of us to take control of how we feel. I learned that we do have the power to choose happiness for ourselves. And the way to do that is to absorb the habits of others who have become happier themselves. I've also learned to more greatly appreciate the advantages I have in my life, not focusing on the things I don't have. So, yeah, I'm a better guy for having written this book, no question.
Peter, what is it that makes us happy? What have you learned from this book, from all these people you talk to?
Well, I think, first of all, let me give you my definition of happy, and the PhDs studying positive psychology, they can come up with lots of big words, but for me, being happy is a general feeling of well-being. It's being up, it's being positive, it's looking on the bright side of things. So the folks that I talk to, each of them has probably a different realm in terms of what happiness means to them and how they can learn to be happy. But in most cases, Warren, it was not huge things. It was little things, like just knowing when to say no. You know, too many of us are too involved in trying to keep too busy and get too many things going on in our lives. And Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, who, by the way, teaches a happiness course at Harvard, and it is the university's most positive course, which is quite amazing. He shared with me, and I have them in the book, the seven secrets to happiness, and one of them was just know when to say no. Mm-hmm. Know when to take control of your life. You know. pardon me, Dr. Christine Carter at the Berkeley University of California, she talked to me as well and said, Peter, there's been such a move over the last maybe 10 years or so to multitask, and she told me, our brains, as incredible as our brains are, they are not set up to multitask. And that is creating a lot of unhappiness as people try and do too many things at once. She said, you've got to focus. Do one thing, do it well, and then move to the next. So, as I say, it's not rocket science, but lots of good learning.
Peter Jennings with us. Why Being Happy Matters is the new book. So let's take a look at the guy from the Rolling Stones, the keyboardist there, Chuck. He talks about his good friend Jimmy Carter. That's interesting.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell. I mean, here's a guy who has toured with the Stones for, you know, the last 20 years. He's played with all the major bands in the world. He's won all sorts of Grammy Awards. So the guy is very wealthy. He's got a big plantation down in Georgia. But when Chuck's not doing music, he is a noted conservationist, and his good buddy Jimmy Carter gets together with him all the time, and the two of them talk about conservation. But this guy, I said to him, Chuck, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being high, where are you in the happiness scale? And he said, Peter, I'm 11. I'm the happiest guy in the world. And he then said to me, you know what makes me really happy? Mowing. I love mowing my lawns, mowing my horse pastures, mowing my paths. There's something zen about it, and I really enjoy mowing. I mean, this guy could afford to hire, you know, 8 people to come in and mow his lawns and stuff. But Chuck's a really, really neat guy, and see, he thinks he's the happiest guy in the world.
So what did Major League Baseball star Sean Green have to say to you?
Sean's really interesting. He talked about his baseball career and how it brought great happiness to him. And he's another guy who kind of talks about being in the zen moment. He talked about, you know, being up at bat and looking at the pitcher, and he would try to get into the pitcher's head and understand what kind of a ball that pitcher was going to throw at him. He said, Peter, I knew before the guy threw the ball what he was going to throw at me. And he said, once the ball left, he said it was almost like a slow motion image. I could see the ball coming at me, but everything would slow down, and I could say, okay, that ball's going to drop at the last minute. I'm going to crouch down a little lower, and whap, he'd hit the ball, and off it would go. So he got great happiness from his baseball career because he seemed to master the ability to stop time and see what they're throwing at him. Really interesting guy.
So, Peter, would you say the most unhappy, most miserable person in the world can be happy after taking a look at your book and reading it?
Wow, that's a great question, Warren. I would certainly hope so. One of the people I talked to, Deborah Bishop in Oregon, is doing work on the happiness gene. And she is convinced that as we begin to decode our DNA, that some of us are born with a happiness gene. So we are going to be more likely to be happy people in our lives regardless of what happens. At the same time, I said to her, does that mean that some people are born with an unhappiness gene? And she said, likely. So her studies say that our happiness is a result of 50% genes, 10% life circumstances, 40% daily activities. So if we can take, you know, your example of a very unhappy person, if that individual is prepared to look at his life and say, okay, my life circumstances, my daily activities are what's getting me down, I'm prepared to work at it to make myself better, yeah, I think that guy can improve his happiness.
So, do you
but, I mean, the motivation's got to be there. It's like anything else, Warren, you know, like the drunk who has to first admit he's got a drinking problem before he can ever get better. You have to admit that. So in your case of this very unhappy guy, he would have to admit, damn it all, I'm unhappy, but I'm going to do something about it.
So, Peter, does money have anything to do with happiness? Because I remember, you know, years ago there were families that really had hardly anything, and they were happy. And these days it seems like money controls everything.
Well, yes, it does. But if you listen to John Robbins, after he was wiped out, after the guy invested all his money in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, John said, I was totally wiped out. And he said, I had to start rebuilding. But he said, Peter, to me, money is what I need to have a decent standard of living. Other than that, above and beyond that, I don't need money. It just sits around and gathers. So I think that's a very good point. And many of the people I talked to said there's the old adage, you know, money buys you happiness. Well, it doesn't. We all need certain creature comforts. But over and beyond that, I don't think money is going to contribute to your happiness.
So again, the book is called Why Being Happy Matters. Discover how the power of joy will energize your life. Peter Jennings up in Canada. He is the author of the book. Where can our listeners get the book, Peter?
Well, they can go on whybeinghappymatters.com, or they can go to the usual sources online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And it's available both as an ebook and as a printed copy.
Well, terrific to have you with us once again. Come back when the next book comes out. Be looking forward to it.
Well, that's great, Warren. Thank you so much for having me. And, yes, I'm working on a couple of books, and I'd be delighted to talk to you again when they get published.
All right. Get in touch.
Will do.
Thanks, Peter. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Warren. You too. And goodbye to everybody in Kingston.
All right.